Hey guys, welcome to this week's podcast. Of course, here at CycloneFanatic.com. It's presented as always by Mark Charter Real Estate. We're on the road. We've taken podcasts on the road before, but not this far. We jumped in Mark Charter's Tahoe about 2.5 hours from Bondurant.
Very peaceful drive.
Solid two and a half.
Yeah.
With our special guest host here today as well, Heather, it was quite the conversation on the way.
Say hello to everybody, Heather.
Hello, everybody.
Put that mic closer to your face.
Thank you. Yes, we had quite the conversation with Mark's business.
We're here hanging out with the batch. Chris Soles, what's up, man?
Oh, just hanging out. Glad to have you to my humble abode.
Yeah, it's nice. You've done a lot of cool stuff over the last year. Did you ever think you'd be able to be on this podcast?
You know, I'm hitting my peak right now to be able to be here with you guys.
Yeah, well,
it's good to be here.
It's a good notch on your resume.
Exactly.
We have so many female listeners right now. We actually do have quite a few female listeners that are
surprisingly. We have a lot of women who listen to our show.
We do, and will be extremely jealous to know that we're literally sitting at your kitchen table.
They're probably just driving by right now.
I think we saw one drive by just a little bit ago.
Okay, that's where I want to start because. Like that, you do live out kind of in the boonies, right? I mean, that's not an offensive thing to say to you.
No, I usually refer to it as middle of nowhere.
Okay.
We're kind of right in the middle of nowhere. And I love it.
It's peaceful out here, though.
But we've been here for a half hour, and we've already seen people, like, trying to get a peek at your house. That's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting new normal that I live in.
But they should know you have security cameras.
Right.
So if they try to mess with you,
it'll videotape them.
We get license plate numbers.
Exactly.
When did it become apparent that you needed to add those cameras? Was it one particular visit or just over time?
Yeah, you know, when I was last summer after the Bachelorette, we were starting to get visitors, or I was. And actually, Cody from the Bachelorette was living here with me.
Oh,
he was
really?
Training me for the Bachelor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you guys were out on the hay bales.
We were curling hay bales and whatnot. Yeah. You know, normal farm stuff. Farmers do when they work out. They don't have dumbbells in the middle of nowhere. You have hay bales. So, So he was living here and I was gone. And he got to see firsthand how many people were coming and going. And, you know, that's when I started to realize that, I probably should be doing something just to at least, in case somebody tries
to document something.
Right. Generally speaking, it's all been, harmless and people wanting to just see. And the house itself, the place, got a lot of television time. So it's almost like the Field of Dreams now, in a way that it's what TV does to anything like that. I would never compare this place to the Field of Dreams. That's the real deal. But this is,
nobody's just stumbling by.
No,
you have to intentionally set out to find this place.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Did you, I knew you had to have known you would get this type of reaction when you became the Bachelor. I don't know about the Bachelorette. Or to a point, but did you ever anticipate a life where people would be driving by your house and Mark and I saw you at the IndyCar race the other night and women FaceTiming their moms, getting you to say hi. You know what I mean?
Handing the phone.
What
to say
I think
hi
is
to somebody.
Some really weird stuff.
Yeah.
Did you see it coming to this level?
No, I didn't. I mean, I thought. After the Bachelorette, that was eye-opening, and I saw, people react to me in a completely different way that I didn't expect at all. I knew being on the Bachelor would take it to another level, but I didn't really anticipate, it kind of going to this level. Every time I go somewhere, I'm like, people probably at this point are, have forgotten about me, and it's going to be a lot different, and it never ceases to amaze me when I go somewhere how people react, but it's something where it's been all positive for the most part. And
what do you mean for the most part?
And you get some negative comments on social media every once in a while, but or you get a tabloid that says something that's not true about you, and that can be offensive. But that stuff I let kind of just roll over the bridge and not really pay much attention to. But the people that come up and say hi, and want a picture or whatever, it's a lot of cases I'm making their day or making someone's day.
That's a good way
better.
To look at it.
And, so it's, I always kind of go back to the first time I got an autograph from Sammy Sosa. And I was after a Cubs game.
I'm a big Cubs fan.
I'm a Cubs fan too.
There you go.
I was probably 7, 8 years old and he was driving out in his Lexus. And I was standing there with my dad, and he had his window down, and I recognized him. And I yelled his name, and I ran up there, and he stopped. And all I had was a dollar bill for him to sign. We signed a dollar bill, and it was one of the coolest things I'll never forget. So I don't compare myself to anything that Sammy Sosa has accomplished and who he is as an athlete. But, you know, if I can do that, regardless of, you know, I to me, I'm still just a regular guy from Northeast Iowa and, and don't really get it. But if I can make somebody's day better and give them a memory like that, you know, I'm going to do that over and over.
Do you still have that dollar bill?
You know what?
Sammy Sosa.
I think it's in the basement and all of
it means a little
stuff.
Less today.
You know, it's just the memory more than anything. Yeah. You know, you can't hardly tell. You know, the autograph was. I can't hardly read it. You know, obviously, it's a signature. So,
how does your life differ when you travel? I'm curious because what Chris and I witnessed was in Iowa. You're an Iowan. People know you very, very well here. Last week, for instance, I think you went to Boston for something. I mean, still getting recognized in airports and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely I'm much more recognizable in Iowa. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think people, and obviously everything was tied to Iowa. The storyline for me being a farmer, being an Iowa guy, was really played up for The Bachelor, and I get a lot more attention here when I go somewhere than say Boston or New York City. But it's still like it's amazing to me sometimes. Depending on the place I go, it can get crazy. But and people wanting to get pictures, and especially if it's a sort of a bar atmosphere or something like that, it's can be a little bit interesting.
I'm willing to bet you don't buy many drinks anymore. It's one of the perks, right?
It is one of the perks, but I hesitate to go to many bars anymore. You know, it's hard.
It would stink to know that you're just out trying to enjoy your evening, and I would think there'd be a little bit of pressure on yourself to, man, I'm just going to go have a drink or have dinner, but I gotta look nice. I gotta do whatever because people are going to be snapping pictures of you and posting it to Facebook and Instagram and all of that. So really, you kind of lose control over your identity in a way.
Yeah. You do. You go to a gas station. You kind of try to look down and put your hat down and walk in, walk out, and you do have to consider how you look. And I think about it. Sometimes I still don't care, but most times. But it is a. You know, you're definitely going to get your picture taken. It's going to be on Facebook and it's going to be on social media. Mm-hmm. And the moment that you get done taking it, it's just incredible. I'll be in L.A. run into some random person on the street and they'll want their picture with me. And next thing you know, it's on my news feed on social media. It's like, I don't even know this person from a hole in the wall. And now I'm showing up, a picture of her and I is showing up on my social media. It's just weird.
You know, I'm from rural Iowa. So I can imagine, like, trying to find a wife at the age of 30. I get it. I'm married, so I don't have that.
Right.
But you could have just done farmersonly.com. You know. Like, why? This seems like a very difficult route that you took.
If I had a dollar for every time I heard that or saw it on social media.
Now they're digging at you, man. Did you see
I saw that.
That guy's digging at you.
Yes.
The owner of Farmers Only. He's jabbing at you.
He owes me some royalties or something.
For sure.
It sounds like it. You should be the spokesperson.
You should be you should be getting paid for that, though. He's using you to promote.
He is.
I always wondered, since you've heard that joke a lot, and I'm not original, obviously. Because I was down in Dallas at Big 12 Media Days last week, and we're sitting at the bar in Dallas, and a freaking Farmers Only, that commercial pops up. Where's this guy getting his money to? They're pouring money all over
the
place.
Isn't it a subscription fee, though, monthly?
Apparently, there's a lot of farmers.
Apparently, I mean, it seems asinine to me. Like, they're showing up in, like major sporting events. They're paying millions of dollars.
They got the jingle. Yeah. I mean, everybody knows it. Yeah. I'm not going to sing it all.
You don't have to be lonely. FarmersOnly.com. Well, I said it.
You know, I don't know. There aren't that many farmers. I think we're about 1-2% of the population. So it seems like there's a very limited client base that they'd have to draw from.
But, yeah.
I bet you'd have your pick at anybody out there these days, though.
If you ever walked into a bar with like 15 hot women in short shorts and cowboy boots and they're singing like that commercial.
Yeah, right. It's happening right now down the road if you want to check it out.
Well, you address for us, by the way, so our third wheel is not here today. You got an upgrade with Heather being here.
Thank you. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Should we describe Adam to him real quick? I mean, he's kind of
a curmudgeon.
Yeah, he's like a close... curmudgeon. He's one of my best friends. He's like a brother to me, but he's just very close-minded. Like, if it doesn't... You know, if he's never done it, it's not a... You know, that type of guy.
Okay.
Not a bad guy. Just this is how he is.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate through Adam Gray and what he would say if he was here.
Yeah.
So now that we've been here, we see where you live. It's very easy for me to understand that if this is where you live, the pool of women is not deep.
Right,
okay,
right.
So I understand why maybe you weren't finding a woman out here. So when you talk to Adam Gray, he's like, no way that dude went on that show to find love, dude. He went on there to find fame. I don't buy it. I do not buy it. So address, Adam's going to listen to
you're
this.
You're
going to
have
later.
More people who say that than
tell,
you
well, Tell Adam why he's full of crap. And how your intentions, I believe, were pure when you went on that first Bachelorette season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, going on the first season of The Bachelorette, my sister actually signed me up, and they contacted me and asked me if I thought I'd be interested. And, I took a second, and I thought about where I was in life and being single and 32 years old and living in a small town and it's far away from any large city. It's hard to meet people. And I've not really done anything for myself, you know, besides work, you know, in a long time. Most of my life I've spent, focused on working really hard and trying to find someone. It's hard anywhere, I think, but it's particularly hard when you've got to drive, you've got to commute an hour and a half to just go on a date.
Mm-hmm.
So having the opportunity to do that was not only an opportunity to meet somebody, it was an opportunity to do something different for myself. And I had no idea the fame was going to happen. That was not, I just had no concept of what this show really did for people. I didn't watch it. I never watched a full season. I didn't know what happens after. I didn't follow those things. It was all completely new. So, I mean, I was completely naive to the fame thing. And then having the opportunity to be The Bachelor was like, okay, this makes sense for me.
You'd been through it before. You kind of knew the process a little bit.
Right.
When you applied for The Bachelorette, I can't recall, did you know it was Andy at the time when you applied?
At the time, no. I went through the casting process, and they had not aired the Juan Pablo season.
Did you ever meet that guy?
At that point. I've never met him. I have actually talked to him on the phone.
He seems like the opposite of you. He does not seem genuine in any way.
I mean, your name is Juan Pablo.
call me crazy, but I kind of like Juan Pablo.
Really?
Did he ever tell... I don't think he ever told a girl on that season that he loved her. He's like, I really like you a lot. Like
he got engaged to that girl and still didn't tell her that
I know.
He loved her.
It was the craziest thing ever.
They never got engaged.
Sorry.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but you can answer this, but I kind of liked Juan Pablo. I don't know.
Well, you would, man.
Yeah,
you seem like a Juan Pablo guy.
I'm a bit
guy.
Of a contrarian, but by
totally
nature.
Would. So you didn't. So you didn't know Andy, at least up front, was The Bachelor.
Right.
When did you learn that during the audition process at some point?
Yeah. They actually. I'm trying to think if I even knew if I was going to be on the show when I was informed. I think I didn't know till like February that I was actually going to be on, or that they actually asked me to be on. I sort of knew through spoilers and had heard that, but she was actually who I was really pulling for from like the first second weekend. You get to see all their pictures, and then you get to learn a little bit about them through the show. And that was the one. She was the one I was pulling for, and so I was really excited that it did become her.
So you were hoping she got dumped.
Yeah.
So she could be The Bachelor.
And you obviously found her attractive.
I
would assume.
Right. And she had she had a career, and she was smart, she seemed like the type of person that I would be very interested in. She had a good head on her shoulders, so it was. When I found out it was going to be her, it was like I was in LA at the hotel room waiting to go on to meet her.
Okay.
Literally, they announced it.
And you were already in LA ready to go.
Okay. Getting ready to get in your limo for that whole scene.
Yeah, I mean, it was like 3 days away. She only had like a 3-day, the airing is way after filming. So
right.
she was out there for the finale, and then they announced her, and then we had like 2 days, and we were in a limo, and And we were going to meet Andy.
How awkward is that first moment in the limo? Like, you're going to get out. Because
you're meeting all the guys, too, for the first time, for the most part, I would assume.
Yeah, that was entertaining because you just see all the different personalities and egos, lots of egos.
Yeah. And, everyone thinks they're the best. That's why they're there.
Did you ever just want to jack one of those guys in the face? I mean, I'm talking like a face that you just want to. You don't have to name names, but was there ever a time in that house where you just wanted to just knock a dude out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you seem to me really well liked, and obviously we only see a certain part of the show. But for the most part, did you get along with most of the guys in the house?
I really did. I mean, I had a great time. I got to know a lot of those guys really well, and still stay in touch with a handful of the guys, and you know, they'll be friends for the rest of my life. So that was like going into it. It's like, okay, worst case scenario. I don't meet someone, you know, worst case scenario was I get sent home night one and I feel like a complete idiot. And,
which is embarrassing. You feel bad for those people.
I would be very embarrassed. And, which I've got a story about that I'll tell you after I finish telling you about the guys that I've known, but I've gotten to know a bunch of really good dudes that they'll be friends for the rest of my life. And you know, for the most part, that experience was the best part about it, you know, and I get, that's something that this whole thing has been about, those relationships that I've developed and the friends that I'll have forever, you know, and that's what I carry forward and the memories that go along with it. So, but yeah, and the story about, you know, my biggest concern after I was asked to do it was like, she's going to find out that I'm a farmer and I'm from Arlington. I'm going to be out of here, you know, and that was literally legitimately my biggest fear. And so I told my parents that I drove myself to the airport and I'm like, don't come get my vehicle unless if I'm not back in 5 days, you can come get my vehicle because I don't want to ride home with anybody. I'm going to, I don't want to be around anybody. I probably won't see me for a few days after that because I'm going to lay in my bed and cry for, so it was because going into it, it's a really weird thought process and sensation to know that you could either be gone for 5 days or 2 months. And you got to pack for that too. You got to pack suits, and you got to pack different changes of clothes because you're going to be on TV, and you want to look. You don't just throw in sweats and t-shirts, you know. So it's that was a whole something that it was hard to comprehend. And
do they dress you?
No.
So like, even if you're there for a month, they don't give you like clothes to wear. It's all like your own wardrobe.
Primarily, yeah.
I mean, I assume that changes when you become the bachelor.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's all these women. They can't be buying gowns for everybody. True. Dudes might be a little cheaper, but women, that could get expensive.
Yeah.
We got a lot of ground to cover here.
We got to go back, though.
Okay.
Because I can't believe that you were over here thinking you were going to get sent home on the first day. There's some crazy people that should go on this show.
A lot of people get drunk.
You're cute, you're nice, you're normal.
Well,
you know?
You just don't know. I mean, I think it depends on the season. I mean, I think that, I don't know. I like I said, I don't think I'm any... I didn't think I was going to make it on the show.
Right.
To begin with,
I really didn't think I was going to make it on. So, I mean, you just... I'm a humble guy. When I stood in the room with all those other guys, I'm like, holy Christ, these
good
guys
looking,
are
good looking, good looking
guys, you know, and most of them seem like they got their shit together.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I was pretty intimidated, you know.
I got to say, though, like, my bullshit meter usually is, like, you know, going off the charts or whatever, but you're serious. Like, you really are this humble. Like, I would be the first one to, like, you know, maybe be skeptical is the right word, but you are like, these people listening to this should know, like, you're really that humble. You're really sweet. I kind of
so
like
people
you.
Haven't
nice.
the
you're
fame,
Heather
the
approved.
Fame has
you're Heather
changed.
Approved. Yeah,
it's, trust me, she hates
big,
me. So to be approved by her is great.
People, yeah, we have a
I'm
big.
I'm curious.
Feud.
Well, we're talking about all these like outsiders driving by your house and getting attention, but what like how did the people of Arlington receive it? Because what was fascinating to me about watching the show is most people who live in Iowa hadn't heard of this town,
right.
And now like during that, if you'd say the word Arlington, like people in California had heard, you know what I mean? What did they were they positive about it? Did you catch flack from some locals? Like,
you know, I think that it's primarily been pretty positive.
Good.
I mean, I've been able to help raise some money for our community center because of this, and and doing some, you know, it's helped put Arlington on the map, and I think it's definitely helped with that whole community center thing. So that was, the timing has been kind of interesting because we were raising money here locally to build a community center, and you know, all of this has sort of helped that progress. And,
good.
And you know, I think some people may have taken some offense to certain things that you get said about it, you know.
Well, because that was my deal, because with the women, like, these women had right. no idea, like, where this is. And they would say yeah. some stuff where, as an Iowan, you're like, well, you know, it was borderline yeah. offensive as an Iowa to hear,
right.
to hear like what these California girls
yeah.
are saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not your fault.
No, exactly. And I mean, I think you kind of take all that with a grain of salt and know that some of it's just sort of good fun, and or maybe not good fun. I mean, that's not right way to put it. But
yeah.
overall, I think people get it. You yeah. know, we're and get the fact that we're lucky to have had some. You know, be put on the map to a certain extent, yeah. and it's been a neat experience for everybody. You know, we get to do my high school is on live, you know, on a television show. It's just a cool thing, you know, yeah. that I think it's exciting for a small community like this, and adds a sense of pride. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people have told me I represent Iowa and our community really well.
You do.
And, you know, that's what I made a concerted effort to do, you know, and yeah, it's a small community, and there's things that, you know, may have gotten said about that that aren't as flattering as you'd like to hear, but it is. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And but it's overall been extremely positive.
Don't apologize for who you are. Be thankful for it.
Right.
Yeah.
The right. Starmont Stars, by the way, even have their own mascot. Cause I was.
Yeah. There. They never had one when I was in there. Budget was.
I didn't know if they did that just for the show. All right, guys, we got to come up with a mascot quick. They're
yeah,
coming
exactly.
to film this game. I think we all have a ton more questions about the show, but before that, because this is an Iowa State related
yeah.
podcast, let's circle back if we can and talk a little bit about your days at Iowa State, especially as an Iowa fan. Because I'm curious about your time in Ames. Mm-hmm. You know, where you lived, where you went to drink at. You know, just bring it a little bit local if we can, and talk about your 4 years. I assume you had it in Ames.
I was 2 years in Ames.
2 years. Okay.
I went to Iowa Central for 2 years and tried to continue my football career there, and decided to hang it up. And once I went to Iowa State.
Coach McCarney didn't offer you?
No, I wasn't that good. Was part of the problem.
And, just part of it.
One regret I'll always have is that when I went there, I was a decent long snapper.
What years were you there, by the way, at Iowa State?
2002 to 2004.
Okay.
Okay.
So he was there the same time I was.
We crossed over. Yeah, I got there in 2003.
I probably
yeah.
walked right past him at Lead Recreation. You know,
so. It could have been you.
Could have been me.
We were probably doing push-ups outside the Ag building right yeah. beside him and didn't even know.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was always doing. Yeah. But yeah, I was there from graduating 2004. I lived right on Lincoln Way, my first home, a crappy old flat.
They're all crappy on Lincoln
Way. Oh, it was crappy as hell. I moved in with some buddies that were playing. I played football with at Iowa Central, and they were going down there. One of them was playing football or trying to, and so we lived in there together, and that was not a good situation. We was like six guys sharing one bathroom.
Gross.
The size of the one that you were just in.
I can imagine the nastiness of this house.
It was disgusting. It was disgusting. One of the guys was not. He did not clean up after himself in a lot of ways. It was not a good situation.
Sad.
We had,
and you know, there's like puking too.
Oh,
if you're living on Lincoln Way and you're a junior in college,
right? Right.
Did you have a couch on the front yard?
That's a great question.
We did not.
Really, you were the only house that didn't.
I think we hardly had a front yard. It was like all. It wasn't room for
probably
anything.
At least during Visha,
right.
Maybe you pulled one out.
You and
there.
Your buddies, yeah, Visha's a good way to go.
Yeah.
You and your buddies are having a big Visha party, Lincoln Way. What's the beer of choice?
Back then, you know, I think I was a Bud Light guy.
Bud Light. Okay.
What? That's like high class.
You
yeah.
say
college.
You say back
or
then.
Bush Light.
Yeah, that's my
yeah,
guy right there.
There you go.
He's Bush a Bush Light guy.
Bush
yeah.
Light, then we like once I started making money, because I got could... when I got to Iowa State, I was actually working a lot more.
Okay.
I was done with football, and I got to work a lot more, so I had some money. And but yeah, I was went from Bush Light to Bud Light. Now I'm a Coors Light guy.
No Natty Light.
The old Cowboys.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, we just Natty Ice, Natty
oh,
Light.
Oh God, was, I get sick just
that,
thinking
that,
about
that.
I
that was my
Hawkeye vodka.
Freshman was Natty. Hawkeye. Oh man, that's
so
that's
gross.
Bad memories.
I get like
there.
A headache just thinking
yeah, exactly.
about some of the.
We once
oh,
did
man.
Beer bongs with Natty Ice.
Oh.
Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure I've done the same.
I one of my friends I think about died that night.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
So were you a partier in college? So
yeah.
where would you go? What bars did you hit when you went?
We went to Was it Patty's?
Patty's, yeah.
Patty's a lot. Went to Patty's a lot. People's was just kind of closing, or like just went, changed hands when I was there. Started off People's, and then it went to something else. Right on the corner of the hill. Size Roost?
Yep. Size Roost.
Still there. Roost.
Yep.
Do you remember Mo-Jazz?
Mo-Jazz, yeah.
That was the rumor there was you only went there if you did coke. I don't know. That was just the rumor. Well,
are you accusing Chris of being...
I never did any coke.
I just heard
there?
That.
Only there. People that do go there.
Well, they had two-for-ones, like,
on
Wednesday
coke.
Nights.
It was cheap.
My like, junior year is when they opened the Dangerous Curves.
Oh,
on Welch
yeah.
Avenue.
That dangerous sounds, curves.
Yeah, no. it's basically called a it is. It's like a bikini
it's
bar.
It's a bikini bar.
So
though,
the women can be topless. What? Yeah. They can be topless, but they couldn't have their pants off.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can't take your pants off and serve beer, right?
Correct.
Is that how it goes?
Well, yeah, but the kicker was because of the type of bar it was open till like 3 AM.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like you
wasn't it BYOB? That one? I thought it was.
No, not that one.
Because it's BYOB if you take your pants off, I think.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
I should know.
Is this true?
I think so.
No, the part about it being the bikini
bar. You can't take your pants off.
No, do you, the girls.
Chris, have you been back to Ames anytime recently?
You know what? It's been a little while. I was trying to think the last time I've been.
I was curious if you've seen Campus Town recently. They're going through a major overhaul.
I haven't.
Like the whole building where People's was is gone.
Really?
The whole building, like that whole block of buildings is gone, and they've got big apartment buildings going up everywhere. So they're going through this big revitalization, which is huge. But you're a Hawk fan. You're a self-proclaimed Hawk fan. Yep. When you were at Iowa State.
We're about to change that, Chris.
Yeah. When you were there, did you go to football games or basketball games?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm a big football fan, and I went to a lot of Iowa State games. I cheer for the Cyclones when they're not playing Iowa, for sure. And but the only time I differentiate is when the Iowa Hawks play Iowa State. But I went to a lot of wrestling meets and a few basketball games, and I never missed an Iowa State game.
Mm-hmm. Are you coming up this year to Ames?
Yeah. Yeah, well, if I can.
If you're available.
If I'm available. I don't even know when that game is. But
September 12th.
12th, yeah.
I got to, I don't think I've got anything on the books. I haven't missed one for a long time. I got to actually hand out the trophy at the last one.
So oh, really?
So you gave it to Paul Rhodes?
I gave it to one of their teammates.
Oh, okay.
One of the sprinting guys that about took me out.
Yeah.
And went his way over.
Is that one of the cooler perks is that if you want to go to a game like that, I assume you or a publicist or whoever can call Iowa State and say, hey, we need a couple sideline passes, and you get them?
I wouldn't do that if I...
I would.
I would totally
do that. Yeah.
I can already tell that he's not that kind of guy.
I would totally
You're
do
that,
that
guy, for sure.
I mean, I've been invited to do that. I got invited to do that the last time, and that was... one of the coolest things I've ever done. It was too bad the Hawks lost, but either way, it was still a great experience. Yeah.
Was that this last game at Kinnick?
Yep, that was the one at Kinnick last year. They lost by
last second field
last
goal.
Second
well,
field.
The road game. Teams keep winning that game anymore.
Right.
It's weird.
It's Iowa's year, apparently, coming up to Ames.
I've heard that so many times.
It's true.
It's Iowa's year.
It's true, but
disappointed,
if nothing else, getting to Ames to see the new stadium. They bowled in the end zone this year. New sound system, new boards, new ribbon board, like around the outside. It should look pretty cool up there this year.
Yeah. No, I'm hoping to make it. I'm hoping to make it. I'll hate to have to miss the game if something came up, but I think I should be able to go.
Now 2,000 women that weren't going to go will be at that game looking for you.
Yeah.
Watch out.
That's an understatement.
If you're going to go, will you text us that you're going to be at the game so we can put it out there just to get a bunch of
people? Yeah, right. That'd be great.
Like, by the way,
can I hang out with you during the game and just... You can say, get this guy's autograph, and I'll happily sign.
It's so good. It's such a good thing that you're married, because now that you know him, you would just, like, be his yuppie, like, following him everywhere so you could meet chicks.
You can just get,
like,
his rebound girls. Whoever match here doesn't want.
All right, so let me get your comment on this, and give me a general comment, okay? You don't have to specifically talk about your own life, and that's totally fine. But here's why The Bachelor and I'm going to say The Bachelor, okay, doesn't work.
Yep.
Okay? Right? And it has for a few people, but not many.
Right.
Most it has not worked for. So, lonely, poor Chris Soules up here on the farm has no love. Okay? And then, you know, put whatever Bachelor you want into that scenario. Genuinely looking for a wife, that's great. Okay? You go on the show, you're lucky enough to maybe find somebody. Mm-hmm. But the problem is... with that comes a lot of fame, okay? And now with fame comes, it's not so hard to meet women anymore. They're coming to you. Mm-hmm. That premise just seems like it's set up for failure. Like it's almost impossible to come out of there with a good relationship. Am I way off base on that? Because that's the way that I kind of view the program.
I think it's, in any situation, if you find somebody that you're going to marry, it's, there's a certain level of luck that goes along with it. Mm-hmm. And it's no different in this situation where you're going in there. And the way it's set up, it really is meant to help you find somebody.
Yeah. I mean,
they make a real effort to find people that you're compatible with and that and vice versa, that really liked me, based on what they saw on The Bachelorette. So, it can work, and but it still has to be, a certain level of luck and fate and all those things that go along with it. It is hard to go through that and then come out into, and then go through normal life. I mean, it's just hard.
Plus, you have more. It seems like every bachelor or bachelorette has more opportunities because you can do a Dancing with the Stars. Or you can go elsewhere. So instead of going right back into normal life, you don't.
Right.
You've got other things that are going to be happening.
Right. Yeah. That changes. I don't think that affects the relationship as much as just, this. You've kind of fell in love in a different environment. And then you've got to come out, and then you've got to figure it out all over again.
Yeah.
In a normal environment. You've got all these feelings that were created in a sort of a bubble, and then you come out and you've got to relearn what's right or wrong with that relationship.
You touched on something too, which is interesting, a little bit about how the show is put together. So if I was going to go on, I would assume, so I'm the bachelor, I'm going on, I would assume at some point during that process, they say, Mark, what type of girl do you like? And I would say, okay, she has to be shorter than me. I like brunettes, et cetera. Yeah. Is there a little bit to that where they're actually asking you?
Absolutely.
What does that look like?
I tried to be as forward. I mean, I'm not looking for brunette, blonde, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not what's important to me. Obviously,
he's not as shallow as you, Mark.
He's just looking for hot. That's all. Nothing wrong with it.
I'd prefer them not be a foot taller than me, I suppose, in most cases. But there's not many women out there like that. But I mean, generally speaking, attractive. But personality is really what is the most important thing. I mean, obviously, the physical attraction has to be there. But personality is what's, at the end of the day, the most important thing. And so we had a lot of conversations about that. As I thought about it, the best way I could describe what I was really looking for is someone similar to my sisters and who they are as people and their personality. So that was and they got to meet them. Obviously the producers did. And so that was a big way that I tried to help them understand what I was looking for in a person. So, and it's really hard to describe to somebody exactly, in a lot of cases you're going to know when you find it. And that's really, at the end of the day, they got to know me really well. So, and they've been doing this a long time, the producers and the casting, they've got a top-notch crew that does the casting. I mean, they're really good people with good hearts that are looking to truly help people find love. So, I mean, if people think Match.com can work, it's like, this is just a Match.com on steroids,
You had 25 women. I'm curious, not after night one, but after you'd been there a little while, like how many of that original 25 do you think you honestly thought you might have a future with at that point? Because it couldn't have been 20 out of the 25.
No,
I assume three or something like that.
The scariest part, the hardest part for me was that you were there were so many that were really pretty awesome and really great girls that, they're in a normal world, I'd go on the second date with. I saw potential, potential with, and you had to send some of those home. So you just had to sort of go with your gut, and I think it's hard to remember, but I mean there was I felt like I was overwhelmed those first couple of weeks because there was a long list of girls I thought that were pretty pretty spectacular and could have seen myself really wanting to get to know on a serious level, but as I got to know them better and better, then I was able to sort of feel what personalities I really was gravitating towards. But those first couple of weeks, it's hard because it's like you get to you're talking for 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. And, you don't get to spend a lot of time, but until you get to go on a few dates, then that's when it gets narrowed down really quickly.
I've got to ask my night one question because I do not want to forget it. It's the one question I wanted to ask that I think so many people are curious about. Night one, you've got all the girls there, and mm-hmm. you've got to make some quick cuts, and you go through that first right. rose ceremony. Inquiring minds want to know, how do they help you with the names? Because you can't possibly have remembered 25 names on night one. So yeah. what is the secret sauce behind what that first rose ceremony is looking like?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's you can't. You had to take a few breaks. And we're taking breaks periodically.
And do they have photos of the girls or something yes, that you can
yes,
reference?
Yes, yes.
Haven't you seen the show? They take you to a room and don't right. you look at all the pictures?
And this
right.
is like framed photos.
Yeah, but that's for drama. I yeah. mean, but you're out there. I'm sure you're night one. You're probably nervous. You feel like a jerk probably too a little bit for sending girls home without having really yeah, gotten to know them.
Yeah, I mean, it's like generally speaking, you hope that they just understand that this is they understand what the process is about, and you can't possibly get to know each one of them enough to even know if they're really truly a potential. You kind of just go with a lot of first impressions just based on looks, you know. Mm-hmm.
You have to,
and so that's night one is probably a lot tougher than I thought it'd be. Because, like, you watch it on TV and you're like, well, he's getting, you know, he's just, it seems easier, but it's really harder in a way, in a different kind of way, because yeah. you just really don't know much about these people that are all extremely attractive, you know. But, coming from Northeast Iowa, where you're not around.
They're all attractive. Like whoa.
10% of the population is standing in front of me in my hometown. That was legitimate.
Would you describe that first night as overwhelming?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And how long from, like, the last limo, like, when you greeted the last girl, till the rose ceremony was over? Because the sun was coming up, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, it was a long time.
It's a long time. Really long time. So I would say, you know, we were finishing up at like 8-9 o'clock in the morning.
Jeez.
And the limos didn't start pulling up till, I would say like 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
After 9-10 o'clock.
Still
so,
a long time.
Yeah. And there was 30 girls. This is the most they've ever had. And so it took forever. We took a break in between limos and they pretended like that was going to be it. And then kind of surprised me with more. And, so it was, that's overwhelming and exhausting and, yeah, everybody's having a few cocktails.
See, that's where I wanted to go with this. Did you have anybody just get sloshed at that thing?
Oh yeah. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I
did,
say.
But it's been a while. I'm not like Mark. I didn't go back and watch it before we came.
Like
the woman that like does fishing.
She's like one you would find on a Farmers Only commercial, right?
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. That girl. Yeah.
What was her name? The woman that
Tara.
Tara.
She got hammered.
She got messy.
So do they just give you unlimited booze, like, when you're there? You can just drink mm-hmm. as much as you want. And if you get hammered, it's on you.
It's on you. I mean, you're really, you know, some people think that they push you, but they don't. They don't. I mean, there's a lot of people that didn't drink. You know, there's a handful that didn't, you know.
Come in this back room while we pour alcohol down your throat. You know, you have no say in this.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it's all on you. You're very, you know, it's your responsibility to keep yourself either sober or, you know, manage your own consumption, but it's always there, you know.
That's where I'd have the problem.
So, yeah. Really?
There's a lot of guys that there's...
Well, I mean, you get nervous, and it just starts to, you know, the beer goes... Like, because you kind of, before we started recording, Chris, and maybe it's a good way to move into this, is you're in this weird situation that you've never been in before. You mix a little booze, and it's going to make you a little bit crazy. It tends to come out, right?
Right, and that's what a lot of people ask me about certain girls and, you know, if they're crazy or not. To describe the whole situation, it's just a really intense bubble that you're in, and you know, you add a little alcohol into that, into those emotions, and you know, if you are a little bit crazy, if you've got a hint of crazy in you, it's going to come out, you know, in certain levels. You know, just being in that situation brings out the best or the worst in people, you know. So it's all how you manage yourself, and you know, just I think it. I feel like I was, you know, being 32 when I started this process, and I was mature enough to handle it, you know, and have been raised the right way, and know how to treat other people. You know, some people don't have those experiences and don't have that foundation, and I felt like that's what you need to have to be able to get through it. Not many people, it's hard to understand how hard it really is, how hard the process really is. I mean, you saw, if you watched The Bachelorette, which I've been watching with one eye open. I mean, you watch some of those, like Sean's had a tough time, mm-hmm. had a really tough time. And those are real emotions. It's hard. So it's very grueling.
Speaking of the franchise.
What was your take, by the way, on The Bachelorette with Nick being able to come back on the show when he wasn't on it?
Yeah.
I mean, they say it's not fair, it's fair, whatever. And at the end, he didn't win, so to speak, quote unquote. If that had happened in your season, would that have bothered you?
Yeah. Yeah, it would have. It would have really bothered me. I mean, and that was Caitlin's decision, it's her show, and she's just trying to find love, and that's at the end of the day, it's her.
She found it, all right.
She found it. She definitely found it.
The skeptic in me, the Adam Gray in me, says, for now. You know, that's we'll hope for good things.
I was talking more about the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
She did find that.
But they didn't show.
But it was Caitlin. It was Caitlin on your season, I believe it was during the limos, that had the line of the season.
Right.
Which I don't need to repeat fully here, but... She came up with a good one. Right. Most people have nothing good to say.
Right. Well, and she's really little and cute, and like you wouldn't expect that to maybe come out of her mouth, and then you realize that's kind of her.
And you were kind of shocked when she.
She made me blush. When
dude,
she
you gotta get yourself on that Bachelor in Paradise.
That's
where it's at, my man. No. Like that is where it's at. Well, live it up, bro.
Nope. My days, you know, are done.
I would say, hey, you're a single man. You're a single man. So
Mark here and I are talking about going on the Rob Gronkowski cruise.
Oh God, what's he doing now?
He's got a cruise line
right after the next Super Bowl. He's like rented out a cruise ship and it's like Gronk's cruise. Really? Him and all his brothers are there. It's party the whole time.
I could see myself enjoying that.
That could be kind of
fun. But
want to come? Let us know.
Well, you know, I think. That's an entertaining show, but
that's the best show I think. No
fun
offense.
To watch. Oh, like, I'm taken.
I've watched these with my wife for years, and to me, like the pad or the paradise one, like it really intrigued
it's
me.
It's great.
They get
all the
crazies together. Yeah. You know?
It's just it's too much of a spectacle for me to want to get involved in that.
Can I ask you, by the way, speaking of spectacles, about in my opinion, and they would probably agree, the most awkward moment of your season, or where we felt bad for you having to be in it, and hopefully it was real as we saw it on TV.
I know where you're going with this.
This was you having to sit down and look at pictures of Jade.
Oh, I was thinking about the Kelsey girl.
No, there were a few. That one was horrible too. But assuming that was literally the first time you had seen those pictures, to have to look at it and give a reaction while being filmed.
And it's
couldn't have been your real reaction if there were no cameras there. Was that the most awkward part of the season for you when that went down?
That was right up there. I mean, that was the top five. I mean, that was extremely awkward. It was extremely awkward, and I mean, that was my honest reaction. And I mean, she told me she wanted me to see them. Like, well,
and you're a guy, and you're like, oh, okay, let's do this.
It was the last thing I really wanted to do at the time.
I just watched this clip last night, and your answer was so funny because you were like, well, if you want me to get
I won't lie. Like, I won't lie. I did a Twitter search that night.
Well, yeah, you think like half of American men.
I said, if that Chris gets to see him, this one does too.
I think there was there was a lot of spoilers out before that I didn't know about it, obviously, because I was in my little bubble as a bachelor. But those pictures definitely became well known.
Looking back, did that play a role? And ultimately, obviously, she didn't go on to get a proposal from you. But did that play somewhat of a role, or did you not care?
No, I mean, if she had been the one for me, I would have been totally fine.
I wouldn't mind if my wife had nude photos.
For the whole world to see, though. That's the difference.
Right. Just saying.
Just for you, that's one thing.
Yeah, you know, it's like, again, it was... even at the time, I'm like, you know, this is something you did. It's in your past, and it's hopefully not something you would do again when you were in a relationship and whatever. But you know, it's Playboy. There's worse things to be in
for sure
than Playboy. It's
definitely
one of the most respected
for sure. And to Jade's credit, she wasn't ugly. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, I would date Jenny McCarthy, and she's been in Playboy.
Oh yeah, she has.
Yeah,
she's taken by Donnie Wahlberg.
Yeah,
it was just awkward. You know,
that was
like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just like, oh, to have to find that out while there's a camera in your face, and you're like, how do I react?
Yeah. The cameras love that part of it. The producers love the awkwardness, and makes for great TV and all of those things.
In a typical scene like that, how many cameras are there? Is there just two and a producer?
Probably two. There was probably just two.
So, like, give us an idea of an actual date. When you're out on a date, a one-on-one or a group date, what is behind the camera that we can't see on an average date?
Well, you've got two to three cameras, typically. The sound guy for each camera. And I always had two producers with me and one handler who ran around and grabbed my whiskey for me. And gum. Whiskey.
What whiskey gum do you prefer?
You know, Templeton Rye. I should have inherited stock in Templeton. I wish I had all the receipts for all my Templeton that I can zoom while I was on that show, because that would be off, you know, the lawsuit that everybody's getting. They can turn in their receipts for the temple that they've consumed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you get $3 back or something. Yeah. Silly amount, $8. So one of the producers actually forwarded me an email, or the press release of that, and he said, you should be rich.
It's very Iowan of you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the fact that it's made in Iowa, bottled in Iowa, is just a bonus, because it is really
made
good.
That was the whole thing, whether it was made or distilled or whatever. You mentioned that Jade was one of the most awkward. Do you have a most awkward from that season?
You mean the scene with Jade was the most awkward?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. You know, there's just a handful of the things that were all extremely awkward in their own way. The two-on-one date was with Kelsey and Ashley I, right? Yeah. That was hard. The crying and the emotions running around. She was running around crying, and she'd leave crying, and then she'd come back crying and want to talk more. And breaking up with her and then breaking up with Kelsey shortly after. And
it's a lot of flowing estrogen you had to deal with.
Right.
Hence why he hopped in that helicopter.
Well, I get it, though.
Just the hop in the helicopter.
You were on my radio show like a month ago, and you said that you had taken a break from dating or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't blame you, man.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Like, putting up with all that. I mean, I love my wife more than anything in the world, but like, that's enough for me at some point. Right. You know what I mean? You got like 30 of them, and they're all like catfighting over you. Like, Jiminy Christmas.
Yeah. No, I mean, I just got out of a real serious relationship too, you know, a relatively serious relationship that I was engaged technically.
Are you saying that Neil Lane diamond wasn't real?
It was real. I tell you what, it was real.
That's like, you didn't have to pay for that, right? Isn't that just advertising that ABC does?
No, you don't have to pay for it.
That's what I thought.
That's the best part of going on the show.
Yeah.
If it works out, the fact that it didn't work out, then sent the ring back. So
that's classy of you.
Yeah. No, it's
pocket the ring, take it to the local pawn shop.
He wouldn't be sending it back. Someone else would. He didn't have it anymore at that point.
Exactly.
During that awkward scene, were you even around? Because the awkwardness of that scene was Kelsey staring at Ashley, right? That's what everybody remembers. Death stare. And she's not looking at her. She won't look. And she's just staring. Were you there?
No.
At that point?
I was not there.
Okay.
That was
hard TV to watch. Yeah. That was very hard
There's
TV
something about crazy chicks that's kind of sexy, though. Am I wrong?
You know what I think about?
I think every guy like thinks they want a crazy chick.
Not to marry.
Not to marry. You know what girl comes to mind from a movie? We were talking about this earlier. What, have you seen Wedding Crashers?
Yeah,
the crazy chick.
Isla Fisher, the redhead. She's a hot crazy.
Yeah,
she's,
I think that's where I got that from.
It's also in a movie.
Yeah.
But it's not real life.
That Kelsey girl, though, just imagine being married to that gal.
You know.
I mean, that'd be intense.
Well, nobody is married to her.
No.
Or at least.
Well, no, but I'm.
And speaking of her, the next most. Well, that was. The one of the most awkward moments was when she came in and told me about her husband and then proceeded to kiss me.
Hey, my husband died. Let's
go. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's kind of like the back to Wedding Crashers when Will Ferrell's crashing the funerals.
Yeah.
It's like it just gets so bad.
Exactly.
The mix of emotions, and it just makes them horny.
What about when Britt was like, got so mad that she didn't get the rose on the date that Caitlin got?
She was just. That was really awkward.
That was awkward.
That
to
was
watch.
Hard. That was very hard. And she just really, that was, painful.
Were you sitting there like, I don't know, like what?
I'm sitting there feeling bad for the other girls that
Right.
That she was basically, you know, saying I deserve this rose over these girls.
Yeah.
And or especially for Carly, who didn't get a rose, and she was handling it like an adult.
Was she the one with the zombies?
She's the one who made the face of Brit. Did you ever see that?
It's hard to remember the names. The names.
She's the one with the sex guru.
Oh, yeah.
Love guru.
Oh, yeah. She's
really Daddy liked
Wait,
her.
I thought she was like a cruise ship singer.
She was.
And yeah. the love guru?
No.
Oh, yeah.
And the love guru date.
That was weird.
Oh, got it.
That
got
was
it.
Really, that no was offense, awkward. Bro. Watching you do that was bizarre.
That was awkward.
Yeah.
That was really
And you guys
awkward.
Were like giggling, and basically this woman was, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were just trying to, go along with it and have fun. And what really happened behind the scenes in that, which is funny, the crazy part about this. Well, so when she was like, telling us to remove articles of clothing.
You're getting naked.
I looked up, and there was a guy smoking a cigarette with a beard, the creepiest looking guy, just staring at us. I'm like, oh my God, who is that guy? Who is that guy standing back there? And they ended up finding out like days later that it was like the owner of the house that he was just creepily standing behind this door with a window and staring at us getting undressed.
That is intense.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
I got to hand it to you, though, on your season. You nailed the first impression, Rose. You did.
Wait, who got that?
Britt.
Oh, yeah.
Britt came out of that limo like a shooting star. I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, whoa, yeah. This girl is cute. Yeah. And great personality, and yeah. then all that kind of faded away over the season. But
yeah.
But I was with you on that one, man. Because yeah, everyone at home's like, who's he going to pick? Who's he going to pick? I'm like, it's got to be Britt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got along with her I would well, at least for a while.
The farmer's only gal got hammered.
Or the wrestler. Wasn't there a wrestler?
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
She put me in a headlock.
Which I'm a big wrestling fan, like, and I'll bet it.
She was the
I've never seen her.
Oh, speaking of the wrestler, so what was her name?
It's irrelevant. Nobody cares. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
no,
see, so, he doesn't even know.
No, we're not talking. So, no, not the wrestler, but there was the woman from Washington, D.C.
The CrossFitter.
Jillian.
Jillian.
Yeah.
She gave us CrossFitters a bad name. She made us look crazy.
She's the one whose butt was always hanging.
Yeah, what was the deal with the constant box around her
butt.
On screen?
Her butt was hanging out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Was it her butt just like literally hanging out?
Yeah.
I think there was some humor behind it because she was...
They were boxing it no matter what after a while.
I think so, but it was... She was wearing... She always wore like some pretty... Revealing bikini bottoms.
They make these swimsuits that are kind of specifically designed for like CrossFit girls that have maybe smaller boobs but bigger butts, and then they like they're cut up. And so
you're talking to a CrossFitter here. she would know about these things.
Well, yes. So, but she did. She made us kind of look like big. I don't know. It was awkward. I was like, we're not all like that.
That date with her was awkward. It was a very awkward date. When we had the one-on-one afterwards, if you guys remember that part, but
and didn't you let her go?
Yes, I did give her the rose.
She wanted. Did you? Were you afraid she'd whoop your ass?
I actually wasn't.
She didn't deadlift you.
She challenged me to a one-arm push-up contest.
No, you don't do that when you're trying to meet a guy. Yeah. No,
it's a total turn off.
I did win.
Did you feel really awkward when
you got the hay bales? I mean,
throwing hay bales around.
They had a contest during the show where they had the women, and she was one of them wearing wedding dresses and they're running through the mud and slop. Did you feel incredibly awkward for them during that? Like watching that, I'm like, oh God, they just got to feel bad. They're doing this to try to get a date.
I felt bad. We were trying to cut. They gave us scissors and we were trying to cut the dresses off for them so they could actually run.
Cause they were trying to hold them up because they were wet.
It was painful. I actually just hung back and like ran next to, tried to like hang out with them and like, Jillian just took off. She was gone. She could have lapped everybody.
Yeah.
It was like,
she was winning that thing.
Yeah. She was winning that thing. I don't know if I could have kept up with her if I tried.
And she broke into your room, right? There was a couple of them.
Jeez.
Jillian and, Megan. Yeah. They broke into my little bachelor.
And you were just sleeping.
So I wasn't there.
Is that legal?
They broke in during,
Is that legal?
No, like, is it legal?
Somewhere.
Is it legal in the show for, like, the girl to just knock on your door at 3 a.m. and for you to accept?
Technically.
You can do whatever you want.
Well, Chris Harrison's always saying there's no rules, so.
All right.
It never happened, but.
No, but, like, I'm just saying, if it. Well, I think it did. Didn't that Caitlin Gallen, then she hooked up with that guy allegedly? I don't know.
I don't think it was allegedly.
That was an after date deal. They went on a one-on-one. Oh, no, okay. It's not this allegedly. They definitely went down. Yeah.
I didn't watch her. I only watched that episode because I heard it was about to get nasty.
Yeah.
I am.
She admitted it to Sean on the camera.
I'm not the only one, although I'm man enough to ask these type of questions. So I'm dying for like a little bit of the behind the scene detail
fantasy
of the
suite?
Show. Nah, I'm not going to ask about the fantasy suite. We can figure out what happens.
No, but what are they like?
What are the suite
I think
itself?
That they're hotel rooms.
Is there like a sound machine like with the ocean in the back? Like, what do we got going on in there?
No, I mean
a little
ambiance? Just they're gorgeous suites.
Okay.
It's just a normal suite.
Oh. Is that the first time you've been alone with them without
a
camera?
It's the first time you actually get to spend time without a producer around, without a camera, without
that probably
mics.
Feels fairly refreshing.
It really is actually. I mean, it's people like it's got this connotation that you know the only reason you go in there is for you know sex, but that's not really what it's about.
Have a conversation.
Really, it's when you can actually learn about someone, and you learn a lot. It makes a big difference. At that point, because everything's there, but you just haven't had time to like relax and talk and really feel normal, you know, because you're always sort of on when you're in front of a camera. It's hard not to be. And there's a lot of stop and go to the dates where, you know, because you're repositioning cameras and when they're repositioning cameras, they don't want you to talk to each other.
Would be really, really awkward.
It's like they kind of like, okay, don't talk about anything important because
we don't want to miss it.
You know, so
I know that Heather has a Becca question, which hold it because I know you had one earlier in the car we were talking about. But seriously, so I'm curious about when you were on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So because it made it look like you're living on the property. It was another house.
It's like a casita or something.
But it was next to the mansion.
It's like a guest house.
A little Spanish house.
That's a little Spanish house.
I learn something every day.
There you go.
Yeah.
You'll always remember me.
So you're living on. Exactly. You're on the property, but not in the mansion.
Yeah.
And, like, daily life. Because you were on the show, what, a couple months?
2 months of filming.
So, literally, even the mundane things, like, we're thinking, how do they feed you? Is there is there a cook, a chef there hooking you up with meals? Are you allowed to go anywhere? Hey, I need to run to Walmart. Someone does that for you.
Yeah.
Just all of those little things that people never see.
Yeah.
You know, that I, like, how does the show actually operate on a functional level before Jimmy Kimmel shows
you
up
really
and helps
know,
you?
You really want to know, like, who brought him his food?
I'm curious about these because the vast majority of us, 99.99%, will never be on a reality show and never know.
Yeah.
So we see what we see.
So your question is, who's bringing you food?
Yeah.
We have time alone.
If you want to summarize
Please
it that
tell
way,
us about your dinner.
So to speak. So the question was more general, like, what is life like when you're on the show on the parts that were not seen on camera?
Yeah. You know, it's when you're not on camera, which is relatively rare, you know, I try to get a workout in, and then, you know, you have your. They've set me up with everything I wanted grocery wise. I mean, if you want it, you got it. Mm-hmm. You just. Make a list, and they're going to bring it. It was I was treated like a king for 2 months. I mean, a king that had to work, you know, work or whatever you want to call it, 15 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, but you had whatever you wanted, whenever you needed it. You know.
So when you got home, were you like, "Who's bringing my
Where's
groceries?
My handler? Where's my handler? I need a little help.
Yeah.
Somebody.
You're here, standing in the kitchen, saying, "Where's my food
exactly,
coming?
Exactly. It was. They take care of you.
What was the Jimmy Kimmel spin, by the way? Where did that come from?
I think it was actually his idea. He loves the show.
Yeah.
Actually, his wife is a huge fan, and he gets a kick out of it too. You know, it was kind of a win-win for both the Bachelor and his show. So they kind of incorporated things together, and you know, it was just a really cool idea. It was a lot of fun. That was the. Probably one of the coolest weeks because I'm a big fan of Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah,
he's hilarious.
Yeah,
and he went on. It was one date he went on. He was with you on a date.
Yeah, he came on Caitlin and I's one on one, and our date was where we had to go to Costco and buy a bunch of stuff for him. So it was like he wanted enough mayonnaise to fill up a hot tub and all this random stuff. And I had to actually cook for him. I cooked him a steak and we cooked, you know, just a bunch of random stuff. And he came over, we had a normal conversation and, that was a lot of fun. He's just such an easygoing guy right away, I feel like we kind of, you know, we've actually have a friendship now from this and, And, you know, that morning that he woke me up in
He's who
room.
Woke you up.
Was that the first time that you'd met him at that point?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know it was coming?
No, absolutely not.
That would be a little odd to be woken up by Jimmy Kimmel.
It was unbelievable. I mean, that was just like an out-of-body experience because that was the night after a rose ceremony. So it was, you know, I hadn't got to bed till 3-4 in the morning. And he came in there and I was sound asleep. I was out. And he stood over my bed and woke me up, and I'm like, the first thing I said, I pointed at him, I'm like, what the shit? He bleeped it out, but then he goes, you know, he said, this is Jimmy Kimmel, and da-da-da, I'm here to help you, and then he goes, do you have any underwear on? and I literally had to feel, I'm like, I don't know if I do or not. It was a long night. But,
did you?
I did actually. Oh,
that's good.
But
the women listening want to know how he sleeps. Yeah. You know,
I'm just asking for the masses.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to know more about you as a person. Who's your favorite NFL team?
Bears.
You like Jay Cutler?
They better say no.
You know, you're a Bears fan too, right?
I have a hard time.
We're simpatico here. Bears, Cubs, Iowa State, the whole deal. Yeah, you know, same teams.
I have a hard time with Jay. I mean. He just is.
Is it his douche face?
It's just his attitude sometimes. I just don't feel like he's. He doesn't seem like much of a leader. He just, you know, he seems like he gives up when the, you know, times get tough. And I just don't see him winning a championship with that kind of attitude. But I actually became really good friends with Jared Allen.
Oh, nice. He's one of my all time favorites. Yeah, I'm a Vikings fan.
I mean, he's literally a good friend of mine now.
Cool.
And lives in, you know, his. My sister lives in Winnetka, Illinois, and they live not too far away, so they're hanging. It's just really awesome.
He's hilarious.
He's, yeah. I mean, we get along really well. He's a funny guy. He's coming out here sometime. Anyway, so I talked to him about Jay, and he said he's a really good guy and thinks a lot of him. So I'm holding out hope that, you know, that hopefully the coaching changes that we have made.
I don't have much hope, unfortunately, but, you know.
Like forever.
Well, let's put it this way. The last time we got to a Super Bowl, was it Rex Grossman? Was the quarterback against the Colts?
Lovie Smith.
Rex Grossman, yeah. And
so if we can get to a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman, we can get to a Super
different
Bowl
league,
with
Mark.
Jay Cutler.
Actually, what's his name from Purdue that's from Iowa?
Kyle Orton.
He was basically the quarterback until the Super Bowl, and then Rexman went in and...
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm hopeful. They got a lot of talent, and the defense is where they've been struggling the biggest.
That's where you make your money. Is that a fan? Is that a random fan?
That's actually my dad. Wondering probably.
You're supposed to be doing some farm chores.
Yeah, probably needing some help.
Cows got out.
We can wrap this up.
Exactly. They're all right there.
We
Heather, what questions? Do you have any? This is your chance.
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
5 minutes.
I don't know. So we were talking in the car on the way up here about Becca and that whole thing. So I,
we're gotta go back
think,
to the show.
Yeah, I know. He's like, I don't want to talk about the show. I'm like, really?
It's okay. A sports podcast.
Well,
I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
Loosely.
Go for it.
All right.
Fire away, Becca.
Well, I felt like it was edited at the end there to make it seem like you really were totally into Becca. But you chose Whitney because she was like maybe a safer choice or whatever. And you don't strike me as being the guy that would do that. But did you kind of feel like it was maybe edited that way in the conversations that you were having with your family?
You know, and anytime you, well, the hardest part about going through that is like you've got a lot of great women to choose from, you know, especially towards the end. You're really, had some pretty good options. And that's that. Put you in a tough position, and you got to make certain decisions based on certain things and where you see a relationship working and not working in the real world. You
right.
know? So, I mean, there was, you know, I really liked Becca a lot. I mean, we had a great chemistry, and all those things were there. And so, I think they edited to make it look
maybe more of a cliff-like cliffhanger.
It was tough. It was just a tough decision.
Yeah.
And there were no wrong ones, really, at that point. This is the crazy part.
And how, that day of the proposal, how cold were you guys? Because that looked freezing to me.
It was so cold. And then the sun came out right as it was freezing that morning and just cold as hell. And then the sun came out, like, like an hour after, like right before the proposal, the sun started to come out. So it and then it like was turned to, went from being like 10 degrees to 40 degrees, which was nice compared to what it was the few weeks before that. But that was a, and that the barn is not insulated well. Yeah.
Like most barns.
I can remember standing outside interviewing, my feet were just frozen because the ground was frozen and it had dress shoes on and you're standing on frozen ground. Yeah, it was cold.
It's a luxury of reality TV.
I've wondered, and not that you would know this because this is a production question, but how the show picks where that proposal takes place. Because on the Bachelorette, it was at the house.
Yeah,
at the Bachelorette house.
Yeah.
On your show, it was in a barn. In other places, it's been in a tropical location. Yeah. It seems odd that maybe they're just changing it up to change it up.
Yeah.
But
I think they just try to make it interesting and make it relevant to the person that is the lead, which is, in my case, you know, this is really where my heart is and where my passion is. So I was really excited that we were able to do it in our barn. It was interesting. 6 weeks in, they asked me if I knew of any barns in Iowa that I'd like to have, that we could do the proposal at, do the final rose. And I'm like, I can't think of any right off the top of my head, but I do know of a barn that... One thing I've always wanted to do when I got married is to have the reception in the barn or have the ceremony there. And I've always wanted to clean one up and make it nice and make it so you could have people over instead of spending the money on renting something. And it was always been a dream of mine. So like, okay. So they went and checked it out and they're like, you know, all in. And so they went and they totally remodeled the barn. They didn't remodel it, they cleaned it up. That barn was full of raccoon
manure
and old manure from when we had hogs in there and straw bales, old straw. The haymow was all full of straw. I mean, everything was completely full. So they spent a ton of money fixing that up and making it into what it is now. And you know, that's something we get to have forever, get to keep forever. My mom's actually turned it into where I grew up into a bed and bunkhouse, I think is what she calls it, where people can come and stay there and get to see the...
A bed and breakfast?
Yeah, but she's not serving breakfast yet.
Okay. So.
The psycho fans. Got a place to go.
Your fans can go there.
Yeah, so that's something.
When they're not stalking your house.
Right. Yeah.
I love it. Hangover. So I've got two wrap-up questions, solid questions here, Chris, and then you can... Chris Williams can wrap things up if he wants. But...
And we got to go let the man get to the farm.
We're going to.
His dad's calling him, Mark.
So I'm curious, the coolest celebrity you've met since all this happened for you. And then I'm curious because, according to my friend Google, you've got a couple of projects coming up that I wanted to give you a chance to talk about if you want to, as far as what's coming up.
Absolutely. Coolest celebrity. I think the first time I was truly starstruck was when I ran into Bruce Willis at Dancing with the Stars.
Nice.
I didn't get to really talk to him, shook his hand, got a picture with him, but that was pretty neat.
You're just like, holy crap, Bruce Willis.
I was like, what? Really? That just happened. You know, it's like, and I meet a lot of really cool NFL Hall of Famers, for Jerry Rice. I got to meet, who else? You know, Kurt Warner, I got to hang out with him, you know, talk to him about, you know, some of his farmland in Iowa. I got to just hang out with those guys. That was really cool. For the 20th anniversary show, they had almost all of the former NFL football players that have been on the show there. So Emmitt Smith was there. Pittsburgh.
Terry Bradshaw?
No.
Hines Ward.
Hines Ward was there. Got to meet him. Donald Driver. Meeting those guys. For me, you know, I'm more of a sports guy than I am a movie guy. And so... that's the type of celebrity that I was really pretty excited to meet those guys. That was, and then, you know, Bruce Willis is like, that's guy. He's just the coolest dude ever. Yeah. It's diehard. Yeah.
He's a badass. There you go. There you go.
Chris has another bleep coming out.
What did he say? I had to get another bleep in.
That's all right.
But yeah, you got a couple shows coming up.
There's doing some different things. I had the opportunity to get involved in what's called the Great Love Debate, which is kind of, you know, at first I'm like, what? That's a great love debate. I have no interest. But it's really kind of a neat deal. It's essentially a town hall style meeting where you go and you get a bunch of single women and a bunch of single men, and you just talk about relationships and kind of what guys think and what girls think and what we don't talk about, you know, kind of like we were talking before we were on air. About how I didn't realize that women went back and talked about
yes. you know,
who they kissed and how many times they did it and whatever.
Which blew my mind.
I don't do that. So that's just how I, you know, and I've, like you said, I've got three sisters, but I don't, I'd stay as far away from their personal, that kind of stuff as yeah. I plug my ears and run before I sit and listen to any of those things. So, you know, trying to open up that conversation and help people figure out why they're still single and why, you know, why they haven't found someone. So it's really a lighthearted, it's kind of meant to be funny, but also help people. And we're starting out in California. We're going from San Francisco down to Phoenix to jumping around to a bunch of places out there. And hopefully we'll, you know, eventually come back to the Midwest. Brian Howe is the person that started this, and you can find out more about it at thegreatlovedebate.com. But it's a
when is
excited
it
to be a part of
be
it.
Be on TV?
No.
Oh, okay.
It'll just be kind of a, you know, it's just going to be a like
a web
stand-up type.
Oh, okay.
It'll be on it'll
the
be live. It'll
gotcha.
Be a live deal where we'll go to
cool.
A, you know, not a, necessarily a bar, but a, yeah, I guess a bar, like a comedy club.
Yeah.
And we'll just stand up on stage and
oh, nice.
And
nice.
We'll have a panel up there of like local celebrities or whatever, like. I'll come and get you guys. To, well, you know,
like Chris Williams, man.
yeah.
When the Des Moines version
yeah.
is ready to rock.
Right. So
he just said that he's tired of women, even his own wife.
No, I didn't say that.
Something like that.
My point was, I don't think I could handle 30 of them
no.
nipping at my heels all the time.
Yeah.
Like
wouldn't
Chris
you
did.
Want to give it a try?
I'd love
you
to.
Said no.
I'd love to, but I think I'd go crazy in the same boat.
Yeah.
By the way, do you play softball? I don't want to forget this point.
I don't because I'm busy, but
it's a bummer.
I have.
Where
does
that come from?
Well, because I got a buddy that asked that's doing a, I'll give him a free plug here, but he's doing a Wounded Warriors charity softball game in September at Principal Park. And he asked Chris and I and the third guy that does this to be in it. And he knew because of Facebook and everything I was going to come up and do this interview. And he said, you got to ask Chris to be in it. So I asked if you played softball.
Yeah, I would be interested.
You'd be the biggest celebrity there for
you
sure.
You put him on the spot.
Yeah, it's
well, I haven't told
listen,
him the date or anything.
Not.
But, you know, and you know, Chris is not, you're not exactly a slugger. You know, there's going to be a
what
lot
of. What are you
talking
people. About?
Ross Peterson.
Why do you know I'm not a slugger?
Ross Peterson, who you do your radio show with, he's not going to be hitting the ball at the park. The point is, there's going to be a lot of people there that probably aren't that good.
Right.
But you play the Wounded Warrior softball team,
yeah.
which is kind of cool, I think.
Yeah.
So, anyway, how far I'll tell you about the day.
Yeah, but, let's follow up with me on that.
But you had one more project, too, that you have coming up. I think,
which
according
one?
To Google. Food.
The Food Network. I did a show called Worst Cooks of America Celebrity Edition, which is just silly.
Are you a good cook or are you a bad cook?
I'm a very good griller.
Okay.
I'm a dude, so I can grill.
Yes.
Anything
else in the kitchen?
Mac and cheese?
Not much. I mean, I can throw a little mac and cheese, but that's like when I cook, I'm cooking for myself.
Right.
And it's just kind of like.
So you bring a girl to Arlington for a date
right.
and it's winter. What are you
yeah.
making her?
You know, I can still throw some meat on the broiler
you're
pan.
You're going to stand out there like cold in the grill.
He's okay. He
can, what are you going to do for sides?
That's where I suck. And that's what happened to me. That was my downfall on the show, which you'll all see in September.
Okay. Well, we can't give any spoilers.
That was the downfall. Yeah, it's so weird to still be in that. Got to keep it a secret until it actually airs.
Did they
the
come
suspense.
Here for the show? They came here and helped you cook, or what
no.
was the premise of the show?
So Ann Burrell and Rachel Ray were the hosts.
Rachel Ray's cute, by the way.
Yeah, she's great.
She's
and
great. Heather's like, what? You think she's cute? I see your looks over there.
I would consider it.
She's cute.
I would consider it.
She's pretty.
I think she's nice
this
looking.
This conversation is going a weird way.
Well, welcome to the Fawcast.
Yeah,
this is what we
this
do.
Is, this is why we're...
Rachel
so wildly
Ray.
Popular.
Yeah. People have to listen the whole time because they don't know where it's going.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So Rachel Ray, you guys,
yeah.
your so wife's doesn't work out.
My wife knows about my Rachel Ray.
Maybe
thing.
Chris can
I
introduce
think, I don't
you.
Think she's single.
Oh. She's not.
You'd have to have
no.
That sucks.
Two
nor am I.
Relationships.
But anyway, so they so the show.
Yeah. The show is was with the two hosts, Rachel Ray and Ann Burrell, and then myself, Jay Wow.
Jay Wow.
Greg Brady, which is Barry Williams.
Yep.
Jay Wow, great Brady.
great singer, by
Kendra
the way.
Wilkinson.
Barry Williams, he's a
Kendra
singer.
Wilkinson.
Oh, Kendra was there?
Yeah. Wow, you had some talent on this show.
I mean, Dean Cain, Superman.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Which he's awesome. And
what do you think about Jay Wow?
She's actually a really, really cool.
Yeah, I got
to be pretty good friends with her. She's really cool. I mean, I had a really good time with all of them, particularly Jay Wow and Jaleel White. He's was Urkel.
Urkel.
Oh, Steve Urkel was there.
Got to be friends with him. And
dude,
did you make him do the thing?
See, like,
these guys are all like,
it's funny because they all want to get away from like the childhood stardom thing.
Yeah.
You know, they all want to build their own new brand, so those are always touchable.
Please tell me you didn't have to call Jay Wow to her face. Did you get to call her Jenny?
What?
Dude.
I don't know. I think I called her Jen. Yeah.
Okay.
This whole time, I've kind of been like there's part of me this whole time that, like, feels sorry for you.
Not
like
anymore.
But now that I know that you're hanging out with, like, Jay Wow and Greg Brady, it's like, man, I envy you. Urkel.
The coolest thing about it was I got to go, and Kendra Wilkinson turned 30. And so she had a just this little small private party that she invited Jenny or Jay Wow and I to. And I think who else went with us?
She didn't invite Urkel, huh?
Yeah, she and Jaleel.
Steve.
We all three went, yes. Yeah. And Michael Strahan was there. And her husband is
Hank.
Yes.
Same morality guy. I know.
Yeah, there you go. So it was awesome. It was just like 10 of us singing karaoke, boozing, having a great time with, you know, hanging out with Michael Strahan, you know, so it's...
Jeez. See, my theory is, damn the relationships, dude. He's hanging out with Michael Strahan. That's the life.
Strahan's nothing. He's hanging out with Urkel and Jay Wow. All right?
It probably would have been better if you were hanging out with Kelly instead of Michael Strahan.
Strahan in Magic Mike, though?
No.
I think I did see a snap. That guy
liked
ripped.
It? You liked it?
That whole movie was just...
the movie, but...
They needed to just make the first one again. They tried to, like, change it up. It's like, everybody wants you to do the same thing.
Chris, thanks for your time, man.
Yeah,
your class act. We appreciate it. And thanks for letting us come out.
We can't wait to see it down at Jack Trice Stadium this
fall.
If you do come, get a hold of us because, you can come hang out at the tailgate. Not that you won't have other stuff going on. We do a big pregame radio show and all that stuff. Yeah. So
friends of mine own a house right by the stadium.
Oh, really?
It's literally like a 45-second walk, and we're going to be doing a little pregame tailgate.
We can
get you out there.
He's a Hawk fan, though.
They're going to have a shrimp fry, whole deal.
I hung out with a lot of Cyclone fans and some Hawk gear back in the day.
And
still do when I go tailgate in Iowa State.
It's all good. Thanks again, man.
Yep,
we appreciate it. Get out to the farm. Get out and make Dad happy, all right?
Yep, time to get to work.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Thanks to Chris Soles, The Batch. For Mark Charter and
Heather.
I was going to say Adam Gray just because I'm so used to it. So long. Have a great day.